Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Blue Collar BS, where we're breaking down the generational BS in the workforce, calling out the no-nonsense, and get real about what's happening in the blue-collar world. I'm joined by my co-host, Steve Doyle. What's going on, my friend?
Brad, doing great today, man. It's sunny, the coffee's strong, and I'm ready to roll! Because today's episode, it actually is a special one, and not just because we're here, though, let's be honest, we are pretty special, damn it. But no, today, we're keeping it in the family.
That is correct. We're bringing in a special guest with a direct line to one of us. Spoiler alert, it's not me this time. So, Steve, you want to let our audience know who's stepping up to the mic today?
Oh, yeah. So today, is my daughter, Kayla, is joining us on our show. Now, before anyone starts thinking this is just bring your kid to work situation, Kayla is actually a working high school student. She's balancing school, a paycheck, and navigating the workforce as a young Gen Zer. And let's be real. How often do we get to hear straight from the source what the younger generation actually thinks about work?
Exactly. So for all you out there saying constantly, these kids don't want to work, hold on to your hard hats, batten down the hatches, because we're going to talk to a live, real young Gen Zer stepping into the workforce, part of the 15% of those high school students that do want to work, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and are you kidding me moments. It's going to be a fun one. So let's buckle up and let's go. Hey everyone, welcome back to this episode of the Blue Collar BS, and I am graced and honored to be here with my co-host, Mr. Stephen Doyle, out of the great state of Michigan. What's going on, Mr. Stephen Doyle?
Oh, you know, it's a great Friday. It's sunny out, the guns are out, so, you know, we're just getting ready to have a great weekend here.
So we're going shooting this weekend is what you're trying to say.
Well, you know, guns out, sun's out, guns out. Let's go. Let's go.
Sure. Great. I can't wait to see you in that tank top. That's going to be a great picture no one wants to see.
That's right. No one wants to see it, not even me. So it won't ever happen.
As our listeners are probably going, why am I introducing the show when we have a guest on the show? Well, because we have a very special guest. It's a very special family episode here on Blue Collar BS. Mr. Doyle, who is our guest today and why are they here?
As you probably noticed, the last names are the same. So today we actually have my oldest daughter, Kayla, on our show today. And Kayla is towards the tail end of Gen Z. And she also happens to be helping support all of our boomers out there with Social Security, aka she is a working high school student. So what better way than to get some perspective of some young Gen Zers than, you know, ask some questions from my daughter's experience now that she is into her second job.
Nice. So, yeah. So Kayla, yes. Welcome to the show.
Third? Oh,
third
yeah.
Job. Third.
Well, church.
Oh, yeah. All
internship. Right. Is church really Kayla, a job, welcome. Though? Okay. They pay you or no?
Yeah, they do. Yes.
Okay. And we're going to need more than one word answers in order for this to be a conversation, just so you know.
Yeah. So, Kayla, hey. As we kind of help prep for the show, recognizing that you are a student in high school, help our audience know as a professional. Oh, and we've got the cat. That's great. So as a somebody that has entered into the workforce, what are some things that you have learned through those three jobs? Things that you like about working?
That I like the money and the friends I make and working with the kids.
Okay. So when you went from, well, we'll take church out of it, but when you went from job one to job two, what was the reason you were looking to leave job one?
They wouldn't pay me for my training. They got mad at me at things that weren't my fault. And I had a kid choke me in the water and they wouldn't help me.
Oh, nice. Awesome. So, okay. that's a problem. That's a fairly good reason to say, hey, I think I'm out. And so how did that exit for you? How did you leave that organization? Did you just bounce and just say, I'm out and not call them back? Did you, were you respectful about it? What did you have conversations? How did that go for you?
My next shift, I put in 2 weeks to one of my bosses, and she asked me why, and I told her that I wasn't getting the support I needed.
And what was the response to that?
She just said, okay. And then said, take your walk of shame out the door.
Take your walk of shame out the door. So not only are you a second, you're also a smart ass. I like it.
Hold on.
I'm going to ask, first of all, why do you know what a walk of shame is?
I missed.
So did she actually say take a walk of shame, or did you just feel like after you turned in your notice, it was a walk of shame?
No, she said that to me.
Oh, okay. That's wow. The first time I'm actually hearing about it. I would have laughed too.
That's a great reason to leave an organization for sure. So when you decided, so first of all, congratulations for being part of the 15% of eligible high school students to actually go find a job. So kudos. Mm-hmm. Kudos to you, Kayla, for making that happen, and Steve for facilitating that to happen as well. If you did or didn't, I don't know. But what were some of the things you were looking for in job two that were critical for you to say yes to go work for somebody else?
I needed them to recognize that I was a high school student and I wasn't going to know everything, and I needed them to support me and help me through how I was, you know, supposed to do what they wanted me to do, as well as, like, obviously recognize I'm a student, is that I can't work every day of the week and they can't be mad at me when I can't cover a shift last minute and expect me to just do it all without help.
Interesting. So when you say without help, help our audience know, what do you mean by you're expecting help, and who are you expecting help by?
Well, like the first job, I was a swim instructor, and when I had struggling kids or I wasn't sure what to do and I'd go to my supervisors for help, they wouldn't help me. They wouldn't give me advice. They would just get upset with me. And I really need someone to guide me through when I'm not sure what to do. I need that guidance on what I should be doing to, you know, give these kids the best of their abilities.
So help for you is more not do it for you, but to help you understand what it is that you are to do in the situation or what you could do different. Okay, because there for our audience, many of our audience believes that younger folks just want the answer, not the guidance. And so within your peer group, within your friend group, are you different in that way that you're looking for guidance and support versus answers? Or is your peer group and those that you work with and your other counterparts that you work with, are they also looking for that guidance and support versus just do it for me?
I feel like when I was a swim instructor, they definitely just wanted answers and not the help. And the job I'm at now at the daycare, they're a lot more, we just all kind of work together to try to help each other get through what we need to do.
Help our audience know just kind of like the age of the workforce at your first job at the swim place, if you will, and versus the place you're at now.
When I was a swim instructor, most of the students were my age, and some of my supervisors were actually younger than me. So it may be very hard to get help when, you know, they're people that you have class with and they just kind of don't really help you. In my job now, it's mostly college students or women in their young 30s. And then we have some high school students that are closers.
Oh, you're the closer. Coffee's for closers. Steak knives are for losers. You don't know that reference from the movie, but that's okay.
That reference.
You'll figure it out later as you crawl.
Yep. But it's very interesting. So for our audience to really understand is just the difference in, one, there's a difference in management and leadership style in how you're leading the younger generation and what they're expecting you to do versus what they need you to do. Two different things. So just pay attention to when you're working with those younger generations, they actually are willing to do the work, but you have to help guide them. And so it's really critical to really understand, how am I helping guide this younger generation in the jobs, because they're not looking for the answers. They're pretty smart and they're going to figure it out. They're either going to figure it out with you or they're going to figure it out with somebody else, and they're going to walk away. They're going to walk away if you're not willing to help them out and show them a way.
So Kayla, from your leadership perspective, from those, we'll use the daycare example, you know, the college students or the other folks that are the part of the organization, what are you expecting from them on a daily basis to check in, to micromanage, to what are you expecting from them to help you grow and become a good employee?
Well, I definitely want them to, you know, check in, like make sure I'm doing what they want me to do in the like the best way I can do it. Where if it's, this is not what you want me to do, like let me know, instead of like getting upset with me or not helping me or having a parent upset with me, help me through that as well. Like, I don't need you micromanaging me. Like, if I know what to do, let me learn how to do it. Because if you micromanage it for me, then I'm not going to know how to do it.
Mm.
And what does micromanaging from your viewpoint mean? Right, because we all have a kind of a different viewpoint of what that is.
I guess it's either doing it all for me or standing over my shoulder the whole time, fixing every little mistake I make. So I don't have anywhere to learn. And I feel like mistakes are a big part of learning. And if you don't let me make the mistakes, I'm not going to learn at all.
Do you feel that there's a pressure to be perfect in the workforce as a high school student in the workforce and the jobs that you've had? Do you feel that there's perfection is expected?
Yes, at some places, I definitely do think that either me or some of my friends that I know have had, like they feel like the first day they're expected to do everything perfect. When they don't, it doesn't end well.
End well meaning what?
Like they usually end up quitting, or it's a very bad experience for them. And I know some have gotten fired just because they're not getting the help for what they need, and they weren't guided through what they're supposed to be doing.
Okay. And then so for the, when you started, So you've had three jobs. We've made that clear. Of those three jobs, were there any of them that had better experiences for starting the position? And if so, what made those experiences good or bad?
At my third job at the daycare that I started, when I started training, I was right away immediately working with the kids. Whereas my second job at the swim school, I wasn't allowed to work with them during my training. So it was very hard to, you know, be able to know what I'm supposed to do if I wasn't allowed to work with them for quite a bit at the time.
And what type of, was it hands-on training? Was it a go read the manual? Was it go watch videos? What do they teach? How is the training being communicated?
Both the swim school and the daycare both had online trainings I had to complete, as well as in-person hands-on training.
And which do you prefer?
I prefer the hands-on training. The videos don't really show you what you need to be doing.
Okay.
Interesting.
It is interesting. And then this is another thing that many of the business owners I work with complain about high school students and younger folks as well, is they're always attached to their phone. Did those employers, did they set any expectations? Did they set any boundaries or anything like that with your phone or technology?
At the swim school, no, because obviously we can't have our phones in the water. It's just a safety thing. And then at the daycare, it was expected of you. And I never have an issue with my phone. I'm present with the kids. It's important to me to be there for them. So I don't have a concern with it. And I feel like if you are on your phone, it is because you feel like you have nothing to do. You feel like you're not making a difference. You're not getting the support you need. You just have nothing.
I'm going to let you go down the next path there, Steve, on the phone question. I'm going to let you go there.
Yeah, on the phone question. So being that the phone
can be... I love the approach, though. I appreciate your stance on that, Kayla. You are... that's may not be normal for an answer for folks of your age. So kudos to you for being ahead of the curve.
Yeah. So interesting on the position of... If they're on their phone, they don't feel supported. Can you talk a little bit more about what you mean by that?
So at the daycare, we do have a couple high school students that do spend a lot of time on their phone, and you can tell they don't want to be there. So either their parents made them do the job and they just don't care, or they applied for it and they don't like it. I know some friends in some instances, they are on their phones just because they don't, their management isn't guiding them through what they need to do. You know, if they're working at a restaurant and they need to be a hostess and there's no one there and they don't have anything else to do, they feel like they don't have anything to do. Whereas as they think that they may need to be able to be doing something else and they don't have the opportunity to do so.
So the default is jump on your phone.
Yeah.
So very interesting observations at that age. And
So I'm just going to
go for it.
Okay. Yeah. So if you have friends that are in the restaurant industry or in other places, and even probably for the daycare, are you, and this comes into how schools, I think, are educating younger folks today. Are you guys very task focused as to these are the five things I need to do, and then when I'm done with them, I'm done with them? Or are you guys looking at it more of a, okay, the kids in my section are, they went home, now I got to clean up my section. I got to pick things up, put them away, clean them, sanitize, all those types of things. Or do you wait for somebody to tell you that that's part of your job versus just doing it?
I definitely just do it. I know it's completely expected of me that I clean the room, I sanitize the rooms, I take care of all the kids' belongings and make sure that they're ready for the next day. And that's expected of everyone at the workforce. I know at my past job, that was expected of everyone to clean up our pool decks and prepare it before and after our shifts.
Okay. So was that communicated by the leaders, or was that a unwritten expectations within the staff members?
The daycare, it was definitely said by our leaders that you need to clean these rooms every day, especially by the main teachers, and those rooms really emphasized on that. At the daycare, you were not specifically told to do so when you got there, but you learned very quickly that you are supposed to.
Okay. Because I think there's the, so if you weren't told that that needed to be done, but you knew it needed to be done, I'll just use a garbage example, right? If the garbage is overflowing, and your kids went home, or your section in the restaurant is empty, do you just take out the garbage, or do you wait to be told to take out the garbage?
Personally, I would just do it. Like, if I know I'm going to have to do it at some point, I would just do it.
What do you? What about your peers? What about your friends? What about those individuals? Right? Because you gave us the example of, well, if I got nothing to do, I'm just going to get on my phone. Right. The old saying goes, if you can lean, you can clean, is the old saying in back in my day. It's like, if there's nothing to do, there's always cleaning you can do.
Right.
I feel like for a majority of my peers, they do take on the responsibilities that they're given. I can definitely think of some people I do know that do not. And I know that those people in particular do not have the easiest lives. I don't know if that would correlate to anything, but I know a lot of people will take on the responsibilities that they are given.
Okay. Do you feel the phone is also an asset to, like, if a kid is reacting to something or something going on, that you could use it as a resource for, hey, what do I do in a situation? Or would you not see the phone as an opportunity for problem solving?
At the daycare, we're actually required to have our phones on us. We went, like, either in the classroom, it can be on the counters, or like easily accessible. When we leave the classrooms, we're required to have them on us for safety reasons.
Meaning what? Elaborate.
Yeah.
Like at the daycare, you know, if a kid has, and we have phones in the classroom where we can call like our managers and stuff, but on the playground, we don't have that. So if something happens on the playground and we are not able to leave the playground in this situation, we are able to get that help that we need. Or some kids love listening to music when we're out there, so we're allowed to play that for them.
Okay. And what music are you playing?
Usually Metallica. Baby Shark, or our curriculums. Our curriculum has their own music as well.
Baby Shark.
Baby Shark.
Oh, my gosh.
Donut.
That's not Baby Shark.
Oh, sorry.
That's definitely not Baby Shark. Boomers, you just need to calm down, because that is not Baby Shark. Right.
Caleb, what makes a good leader for you? What makes a good leader for you and your peers? As I'm sure you and your friends, when you gather, you talk about your jobs, you talk about work, and some have it better than others, and some have good leaders and some don't. But in general, what do you and your peers look for out of leaders?
Someone that, you know, takes their job seriously, My second job at the swim school, I definitely had a supervisor that didn't really take their job seriously, and it made it very hard for me to be able to go to her, this person, for help when I needed the help. So someone that's wanting to be there, wanting to be able to support you and guide you through what you need to do, as well as just someone who loves their job, not willing to just to help you, but love the job and just be there in the moment, not worrying about every little thing. But if there's something going on, they will help you. You know, our managers at the daycare, they will drop anything. If you need a guidance, they will be there. And that's just so important to me.
I like it.
So you listed out
the self-recognition.
Yeah. You listed out
some characters. You must listen to the show quite a bit, Kayla, I think, don't you?
Haven't listened to one.
Really? Because this is all the things we talk about. So I'm shocked that you haven't picked up all this knowledge just from the show.
Well, I learn a lot from, you know, the way my dad's talking, the mentor I do have in my life that helps me.
Not prompted. We're in different rooms. Not prompted.
Wow. Awesome.
I didn't pay her for that.
Not yet.
Not yet. I guess that's coming. So Kayla, you listed off some traits of things that you're looking for in good leaders. You know, obviously some of our audience, you know, may not be as good of leaders, and they're trying to learn those things that they need to break. What would you say are traits of bad leaders for you?
Ones that just want to leave at the end of the day. That's all they can talk about is, I can't wait to get home. It makes it really hard for me to want to be there. And it then makes me feel like, oh, I just want to go home too. And it just kind of makes the whole day very negative. So people that are very supportive in the moment is really, really important. As well as they take the time to train you. They take the time to learn who you are as a person and the way you work in whatever they need you to do. So if they have a certain way of doing things, let them do it. If it's right at the end, why do we have to criticize every little thing? Let them do it. If it's gonna turn out right and they're not doing anything wrong, if they have their own way of doing it, let them do it.
When you keep up these characteristics and these traits, Kayla, you are going to be set up for very long-term success, because those what you're talking about is exactly what many think doesn't exist in your generation. And part of the reason for the show is to get people to understand that it's not this, right? It's not, that's not true. It is absolutely not true. It is different. Mm-hmm. It is part of a sense of belonging and wanting to do the best possible thing and knowing that mistakes are okay. So thank you for sharing that. Yeah. I really do appreciate it. We're going to bring back an old segment. It's the dad joke segment.
Yes.
Just because we can. And it's because the bite your tongue segment's not going to work well for you.
Not going to work.
The mom and dad is the thing, and it's not going to go over well. So here's the first joke. Why don't eggs tell each other jokes?
I don't know.
Because they'd crack each other up.
That's good.
Got it, kid. They're bad dad jokes. Come on.
Bad dad jokes. This is great. This is good stuff.
You can't even laugh at them.
Come on. They crack you up. All right. No. Here's another one. Did you hear the rumor about the butter?
No, I didn't.
Yes or no? No. Well, then I'm not going to spread it.
Oh.
Got it? Butter spread.
Yeah.
I get it.
She's just not amused with these bad dad jokes. These are great jokes. These are great.
So Kayla, from your viewpoint, as you are sitting here as a young, soon to be a very young adult coming out and going to college and doing all those things potentially, what would be the one thing you'd want to tell your peers about work and the work environment and work ethic? And then what would be the one thing you'd want to tell the business owners and leaders to be ready for when you are into your career path?
Yeah, I guess I would tell my peers that work can be fun. You just have to be willing to be there, be present in the moment, and finding a job that you like, you have to find a job. Don't just pick the first one you see. I spent a lot of time trying to figure out what job would suit me that would make me happy. And there are jobs out there. You just have to look at what do I want to do in life? I want to be a teacher. So I knew I wanted to work with kids and I wasn't going to get a job that wasn't going to make me happy. So there are jobs out there that can make you happy. You just have to look for them. And I guess I would tell other business owners that there are kids that want to work. There are parents that don't allow their kids to work. There are kids that do not have a way to get to work. There are kids that have sports after school and they just can't fit it into their schedule. I have so many friends that just say, I wish I could get a job. And they don't have the resources or the ability to do so.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
That is very interesting because that's not the perception that's out there. So
yeah, I mean, I drive one of my peers to school to work after school because she can't get there some days. So I, you know, provide that resource for her.
Well, but you're finding a solution versus not taking the approach of, well, I can't do it either. Right. Oh. So, I think there's some of that perception of the resourcefulness to finding a way.
Yeah.
Is limited because we're right. I mean,
yeah, some people definitely do draw the line of, I don't have that resource. And they just kind of stop after that. Some kids just don't know how to get that resource. And I think that's important.
I had a friend of mine who was a past client and we were talking and his daughter is a freshman in college coming home this summer, wants this job. And he's like, it's an hour away down in Racine. And I'm like, there's no way we're going to let our daughter. I'm like, why not? If she wants to work down there and she has the ability to go drive an hour and wants to drive an hour, why is that a problem?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's like, and eventually maybe it's a way for her to call her boyfriend for that hour every day to and from or whatever. You just figure it out along the way. So,
yeah.
Kayla, thank you so much for being on the show. It wasn't as bad as you thought it was it?
No.
It wasn't so hard.
Talking. No.
See what happens when we don't plan? It works.
Right? It works. Got to go with the flow, girl. Got to go with the flow sometimes.
Just roll with it.
I need a schedule.
No.
There you go. That's well. Before we roll out of this, I need a schedule. That's a very important piece. Because there is a perception that your generation needs everything scheduled and slotted to know what to do. So having the schedule, is that an important thing to know that I'm going to be somewhere for 4 hours and I know everything I need to do over that 4 hour period? Is that important to you?
Yeah, it's very important to me. I don't want to walk into a place and not know what I'm doing. Even when I'm coming home, it's become very important to me. What am I going to do? Do I have schoolwork? Do I have to study? Do I have to take the dog on the walk? It's very important for me to have a schedule. I don't like not knowing. It's very important to me. I go into work and I know I have to do this with this kid or be with this kid, or I'll be in for this classroom today and I may need to do this a little differently based on the kids that are in there. And it's really important for me to be able to prepare myself.
Do you need to know it before you show up or when you walk in the door?
Depends. I guess yes and no. For me, I do know what classrooms I'll be in when I walk through the door, but there's a good chance I'm usually in the same classroom most days. So I already know the kids that I am working with. There are some circumstances where if it was going to be way different, I would like to know beforehand. But I've learned my way through the classrooms, so it's not as big of a deal now. But when I went in, they did tell me what rooms I would be in, so I was able to prepare for that.
Okay. Hmm. All right. Well, thank you for that clarification.
I can tell you she did not appreciate the fact that we are a go-with-the-flow show. She kept asking me, what are you going to ask me? I don't know. You're just going to have to wait and find out.
I need to know what I'm going to say.
Well, don't know. You know what? So let me ask this question. So as a teacher, as a person who said I want to be a teacher, when a student comes up to you to ask a question, how are you going to know what to say to answer that question if you don't know what the question is?
Well, I don't know. I can prepare myself to the best of my ability. It's already happened.
Exactly.
It's just really hard. But if I can
just
prepare whatever.
It was perfect. Whatever. You did it absolutely perfect today, right? You answered the question, you went through it, and you went with the flow.
Yeah.
Your students are gonna do the same thing to you as you go forward. And so not being perfect is like you said, not being perfect and able to go out and not feel the perfection is what we talked about. And this isn't a perfect show. This is an amazing show that's unperfect as all get out for sure. Mm-hmm. you know, and we appreciate you being part of that. So we'll let you go make dinner now, because I'm sure that's on your schedule.
Not today. No.
Not today. Okay.
Nope.
No, Fridays are not. Fridays are not her date.
Fridays are not your day. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Kayla, for being on the show.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.